I've got something on my heart that's been on here for several days. And it'll go along with a couple of the songs that we sung this morning. What would be, if somebody told you they was going to preach on the most, what word do I want to use? The most, the greatest, let me put it this way, the greatest subject in the Bible. What would you say that would be? Be what? What did you say, Brother Tavis? Well, I'm having a hard time hearing y'all. But I'll turn this up a little bit. Maybe that'll help. All right, let's go to the most, probably the most memorized verse in the Bible would be what? Oh, now you got it. Now, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I want to talk about the love of God to us. We're that because we're his child because of his love. He has done everything that needed to be done. Well, he started back in the Old Testament. He had the Jewish nation and so forth. But they kept hurting him and doing with idols and so forth. So him and Christ come up with a plan that's the greatest plan that's ever been. And that plan is so great because of his love. That is what has made it what it is. But today, people are having problems sometimes. My first wife said, I have problems believing, how did she put that? I have problems believing that he loved me as much as he did. And then the devil told Molly, said, the Lord don't love you. So I got two different angles of it here that they're saying that they had. But the bottom line is, God does love you. If he didn't, he wouldn't have saved you. If he didn't, he wouldn't have created us. If he didn't, he wouldn't have done anything of the things he done. He's got a love that is greater and far deeper than any love that can be. You and I just have to reach out to it, accept it, and begin to repent when we're unsaved, and look to him that the Lord would touch and bless and work and do what we need him to do. Then we become his child. For God so loved the world that he gave his only. Now, all of us in here that's got children love our children. And wouldn't be anxious to just give either one of my daughters up. But God's love is greater than my love. And the plan that he was wanting to make had to have a sacrifice that was pure and holy and righteous to be able to do what he needed done so that you and I could have what we've got. So thank the Lord this morning that he didn't stop short. He didn't do anything that would distract or hurt or wound the plan of God, but he done it all the way down. Christ done it all the way down. He gave his life totally and completely, and everything that needed to be set in place is set in place today, and he loves you and he loves me. All right, let's go to Job, the 7th chapter. Job 7 and 7:17. He said, what is man that thou shouldest magnify him, that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him, and that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment? What is man? What is man this morning? Man is a worthless, wretched, bad person that is out there in the world. Let's go to Psalms 8. I want to tie that one in too. Let's go to Psalms, the 8th chapter. And basically, it's wording almost the same. 8 and 5. Yeah, 8 and 5. For thou hast made him, 8 and 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visited him, well, what is man? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of seas. O Lord our God, O Lord our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Yes. Now then, he says over here, he said, what is man? Then he repeats it again. He said, what is man? Man's a mess. A real mess. A bad mess. An ugly mess. In sin, he's horrible. He's the most horrible. That doesn't attract anything but God. And because he created you and I, he didn't just create us for anything. He created us to love him. He created us to work for him. He created us to do the things that we're doing and the things of God. He done that for a reason. So man's a mess, a real mess. I heard a preacher preach on this one time many years ago, and I never heard it preached on, and I hadn't heard it preached on since that I can remember. But what is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thy heart upon him? And that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment. The bottom line is love. He loved man. He wants us to love him. He wants us to adore him. So consequently, to get that relation started, he's got to start first. When a man approaches a woman, and most of the time that's the way it is, not totally anymore maybe, but it used to be that the man is the one that made the move and done what needed to be. And she might think, well, why would he want me? Why, you know, maybe I'm not the prettiest girl on the block. Maybe I'm this and this, and yet he's interested in me. Well, there's something about her and him that is getting a click, so to speak, and he wants a relationship with her, and he ain't found it in no other woman. So consequently, he wants to have a relationship with her. The Lord wants to have a relationship with you and I this morning. He doesn't want a shallow relationship. Listen, when we marry one another, couples have a lot of fun together. They tease one another and gig one another and laugh and play, so to speak. They do things because they love one another. The wife loves the attention of the husband. The husband loves the attention of the wife. And they do these things. The Lord wants our attention. He wants us to give to him. He wants us because he loved us, because he died for us. Listen, if he didn't love us, folks, he wouldn't have gave his life. I'm not going out there giving my life for just anybody or anything, so to speak. And I've known of cases where I read in books where when they were burning people at the cross or on the stake and doing things that a husband or maybe a wife would say, I'll die in their place. That's love. Jesus died in our place. He showed me in that vision in 1985. He looked at me and he pointed to me. He said, child, I died for you. He died for me. He gave everything because he loved me and he wanted me to be something for him. God's love is great. It's deep. It's mighty. It's powerful. It's a love that goes beyond any love that's ever been. All right, now then, let's go to Deuteronomy 7:7. Deuteronomy 7:7. I'm thankful this morning for the love of God. Yes. I wasn't anything fabulous. I'm just a little old fella. Didn't know much about the Bible. Now my mama, now here you look at it this way. I'm adopted. I don't know how many people know that. But I was adopted and taken home to the hospital at 8 days old. And one minister talked to me. This has been many, many moons ago. And he said, brother, he said, the Lord had his hand on you before you was born. I never really thought of it that way. He said he knew exactly who to have adopt you that knew the church of God. Right. Now, my daddy was a Baptist. His father was a Baptist preacher. So I got a church of God on one side, Baptist on the other. But the Lord, I looked at both sides. But I told Dad, I said, I like the church of God. I believe that's the one I want to go with. He didn't fuss with it. He didn't chide me or chastise me or anything. Okay. So that's the way I went. And it's because of God. Yes. It's because of that love. He reached out to me. He'd done what nobody else done for me. Amen. And he began to court me, so to speak. In 1971, the late summer, let me put it that way. He began to deal with me and work with me and call me, and I began to listen, and I began to consider, and I'd do things with the young people, and I'd go to meeting, and I'd hear the preaching and so forth, and I liked everything I saw. Young people, you have an impact on other young people. Their love toward me, they didn't know who this old fellow was, but their love toward me, they included me in things and they showed me love, so to speak, and they done this and they done that, and I appreciate everything they done. That was a lead. That was a pull to me to want to be part of them. And you say, well, I can't do very much. I can't sing. I can't this, I that. Show love. You show love. That's a touching point to them. Well, the Lord kept on to the end of October of 1971. On the about 12, between 12:30 and 1 on the 31st day of October, I give my life to him. He had done everything he could do. And one thing is holding me back. I want to be rich. And I was setting my goal that away. And he told me, going home from work after midnight, when Brother Lloyd Eck come down and worked with me for 3 hours. He got there about 9, or maybe 8 hours, 8 o'clock. And he worked with me, and it was slow, and he talked to me, and he begged me, and he pled with me. He said, if you just humble your heart and get out here and pray, I believe the Lord would save you right now. But I wouldn't do it. But I got in the car, and the Lord got in there too, and he went home with me. And he let me know. He said, listen, he said, you can be ever so rich and I can take it all away in a moment's time. That got my attention. And then he showed me, Lloyd had had a cousin relative that had died at a pretty young age, I believe in a car wreck, got killed. And he let me know my life wasn't, in other words, I could die young too. And so he got my attention. I went home and I went to bed. And I couldn't sleep. Everything rolling through my mind. I finally said, I've had enough of this. I'm going to get down and start begging for mercy. And I did, and he saved me. It was his love. Looking to me, I wasn't anything special. I'm still not anything special, so to speak. But the bottom line is this. God's love would not quit. Listen, if he's dealing with you today, remember, he loves you and he wants you and he's going to deal with you. But there can come a time that he can shut it all off. Brother Clinton told me on this couple, this cousins, I have worked with the husband, but I have not worked so directly with the wife. And I talked to him about, I guess, 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. I'd had a meeting there and he didn't get saved. But I knew some things and he had said some things. So I told AZ, I want to meet with you, and I did. But he turned it down. Brother Clinton told me, he said, Brother Carl, I've been working with them lately quite a bit to get saved. Now, I don't know all about this wreck, but the bottom line is this could be the last call, so to speak. Brother Egbert Allen, he was in a schoolhouse revival in the country there in Missouri. And he was holding back. Lord was dealing with him and holding back. Finally, the Lord said, this is your last call. And he made his move and went to the altar and got saved. I know another man. See, this is the love of God working. He wants you and I, and he's going to call you. He's going to work with you as long as he possibly can. And then he can shut everything off. A man in Mississippi, where my mom was born and raised, he was in a revival meeting, and the Lord had been dealing with him. And the Lord spoke to him. He kept turning him down. He kept rejecting him. And finally, he said, I walked across that line. He said, I knew when I'd done it because I could feel him pulled back, so to speak. His conviction quit. He died lost, as far as I know. He would beg people. He would stand up. I didn't know I was going to get into all this, but you pray for us. He would beg people, don't keep resisting. Don't do what I've done. I don't have a hope of ever making heaven. I'm going to be lost when I die. But the love of God wants something different. All right, Deuteronomy 7:7. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you are more in number than any people. For you are the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out into a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen and the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord, thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with him that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay them to his face. All right, then the 13th verse here. It said, and he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb, the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine and thy oil, the increase of thy kind and the flocks, thy sheep, in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. All right, now the 4th chapter of Deuteronomy and the 37th and 38th verse. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt to drive out nations from before thee greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in and to give thee their land for an inheritance as it is this day. Because he loved thy fathers. Listen, folks, this has been going on for many, many, many years. Many generations he's loved and worked with fathers, with mothers. He's called them and worked with them. They've responded. They've lived for him. That's one reason there are children today that are living for God, is because the Lord saved daddy and saved mama, or just one or the other, and their love, along with the Lord's love, began to pull, began to work with that individual, and they wanted to live for the Lord. So he did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you are more in number than any people, for you are the fewest of all. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath that he has sworn unto your fathers, the Lord made a loving oath, so to speak, that he's going to make a plan, and he's going to work with that plan all the way down to the end of time, that you and I can have salvation. That's what he wants us to do. All right, 10 and 18 of Deuteronomy. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widows, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. We have what we got today, not because of you, but because of God. Amen? Every piece of food we got in the house, in the freezers, in the refrigerators, in the cabinets, and so forth, all because of God. Every dollar that's in the bank is all because of God. The home I own, the cars I own, I have one car, Molly has a car, all of that's because of God. Don't you think it's because, oh, I'm so smart and I'm making so much money and so forth. Still, when you run it right back down, it's God. It's his love to you and I, giving to you and I, doing things to you and I. It's hard for me to see in some ways why people don't just love and live for God. But they're not looking at the love. They're not thinking of where it comes from. And today it has gotten so dark and man's mind is so messed up anymore that it's beyond what I would thought it would have been at this time. All right, let's go to Jeremiah 31, please. Jeremiah 31 and 3. 31 and 3 of Jeremiah. The love of God. The Lord hath appeared unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now then, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Now, there's a lot of people, a lot of couples, that break up, divorce. Sometimes somebody kills one of the other. Sometimes they both get killed. And the bottom line is because of sin. Sin has ruined them and it's ruined this nation and it continues to ruin and go on and on and on. But the Lord here, he said, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. One thing that was drawn to me was his loving kindness. And today, Lord, help you and I to enjoy, to appreciate, to thank the Lord for his love and his loving kindness to us today. It goes a long way. And I'm thankful for that this morning. 89 and 33 of Psalms. 89 and 33. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. So my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness. I'm thankful for the faithfulness of God. I know people that have been very faithful to me and to others, and I appreciate everything. I appreciate what this congregation has done. You all done something that we've never had done in all of our years since we've been saved that I can remember. And that is, you sent me a Christmas card signed by about everybody in here. That touched me. I appreciated that. I was going to send a thank you note, but because of some things that was going on, I didn't get that accomplished. But his faithfulness, you look at how faithful he's been. Down through from before you got saved to the time you got saved and all the years that you've been saved, his faithfulness has been a great blessing to you. A great blessing. And I appreciate that. I'm not going to utterly take my love from him or loving kindness. Why not? Utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Oh, today, thank the Lord. Let's go to Isaiah 38 and 17. Isaiah 38 and 17. His love. Do you really grasp that he loves you? Like I said, my first wife, she just said, Carl, I just can't hardly see how he can really love me like he does. I just can't grasp that. Yeah. And then the devil took with Molly and he said, the devil just don't love you. And that's all a lie. Especially the second one. Because the Lord does love you and I. God wouldn't do for us what he has done if he didn't love us. We do for our companions. We do for our children because we love them. We want to see them prosper. We want to see them grow and learn and so forth. And we want our children to be successful when they get up old enough. Well, that's what the Lord wants spiritually with you and I. He wants us to be successful spiritually. He wants us to be able to do what he wants us to do. And that's all because of his love for you and I. All right, 38 and 17 here. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. Hooey. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down in the pit cannot hope for thy truth. But the living, he shall praise thee. As I do this day, the Father to the children shall make known thy truth. Oh, today, are we praising him for his love? Are we praising him for what he's done for you and I? Sometimes I think the church of God's a little bit too quiet. I think they ought to be shouting a little bit more. If you had happened to go to a ball game, I called the man that is, well, we're friends, but he owns a funeral home, and he's the one that done Rebecca's funeral. And I called him not knowing that he was at a Thunder game. And he said, Carl, it's so loud in here, I can't hear you. Let me get to a place. It was so loud. It was so, I can't think of the word. But anyway, it was just about more than he could get a hold of. And when I told him the condition of my wife, he goes, he could not believe that. But today, the Lord wants us to praise him. If you do something for somebody, is it not nice to be thanked? Now, I like to thank people. I thank people in the mall. They're pushing carts around, sweeping floors and so forth, and I've done a lot of that. Not in malls, but I've done a lot of sweeping floors. And I like to thank them. I want to thank you for what you're doing. You're making it nice for us. And people that do work in Walmart and Aldi's and different things, I'll slip by them sometime and I say, I want to thank you for what you're doing. You know, so the Lord wants you and I to thank him for what he's doing. Listen, folks, we do a lot. He does everything. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be here. His power and his glory, it far exceeds everything. And that's why we're here. He sets his love on us. He calls us and he works with us, calls us and saves us and sanctifies us and does things for you and I. Oh, today, are we as thankful as we ought to be? Oh, thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. The grave cannot praise thee, and death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down in the pit cannot hope for thy truth, but the living. Woo! Praise God. The living, he shall praise thee. As I do this day, the Father to the children shall make known thy truth. Oh, today he said, the Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Now, nobody lives with me, at least most of the time, besides those two little ladies right there. And I can get songs on the boom box, so to speak, or on the other deal, and we can get some songs going religious songs, saints. Sometimes I'm playing saints. Sometimes I'm playing this group or that group. The Chuck Wagon Gang's one of my favorite gangs. Anyway, favorite group, and I listen to them. And Paige can tell you, I can get to shouting. Praise God! Praise God! I don't know what they think about it. Molly's never downed me for it. But I like to praise the Lord. Yeah. Listen, it's not only here, but it's there. Yeah. It's on the job. Yeah. Wait a minute, Brother Carl, you don't understand. Well, maybe I don't, but he understands more than I do. And he knows when you and I could praise the Lord and we could get away with it, so to speak. Yeah. And so, Lord, help us this morning that we praise him for what he's doing for us, that we thank him and praise him. Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now then said, for when we were dead, the fourth verse, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherein he loved us. We were dead. hath quickened us together by Christ. By grace are you saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, heavenly places, now that sounds pretty good to me. Now, what all is the heavenly places? Well, this is one of them. Camp meetings, revival meetings, that's another one. But you can have some heavenly places at home, too. I've had it. That's the reason I shout. Get to praising God at home, because he gets to blessing me and I just can't hold it back. So in 1987, when I was sick, I'd been sick for several weeks at this point. I was in the old general's house, as I call Brother Salmon's. And one evening, the Lord come by. And he got so close to me, his glory was so powerful that I was shouting and crying all at the same time. And I was about to explode physically. I couldn't hardly take any more. He backed off when he saw, I guess, it was too much. But that was one of the greatest times in God I've ever had in all my 50-something years of living for him. And a certain lady got up and come in there and said, "You okay?" I said, "Yes, ma'am. The Lord just got real close to me." But you don't have to have that to shout. You don't have to have that to praise. But that is the highest point of heavenly places I've ever been in. That glory. Another time at Brother Salmon's, the Lord really got to bless me. But it wasn't quite the same. But again, I was listening to good gospel songs that time on their tape player, and it was just wonderful. Listen, folks, you don't have this in sin. Remember what you had in sin? You had that old cigarette cough. You get up drunk and get up with headaches the next morning. I've never been drunk. I've never been smoked and drugs or any of that. But I've heard them tell about it. And it's a horrible life. Horrible life is nothing like heavenly places. It's bad. Heavenly places is good. Praise God. It's wonderful. And that's because of his love for us. Praise God. Now then, husbands, they like to do things for the wives and take them places. And I've got Molly to some places and showed her some things, but I got a lot more. The Lord likes to take you to some heavenly heights in the Bible, in services, in living for him in every way. He wants to show you things that only he can show you. He wants to bless you with things that only he can bless you with. I was literally sitting down in my recliner. This has been some time back. And as I was sitting down, I was thinking, the scripture come to me, "I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." That word, "my help," that just illuminated in my mind. That wasn't just Carl, that was the Lord. That was the Holy Spirit working, and I feasted on that. Listen, folks, God's got a feast that nobody else has got. It's far better than the devil's. It's far better than cattleman's steaks. Listen, when you get to feasting in this life because of the love of God, it goes deeper, broader, wider, and more glorious than anything else, praise God. It's a feast that only he can give you. And oh, thank the Lord for that feast, that heavenly places. And that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. He wants us to get deeper and deeper, closer and closer, live more for him and more for him as we go on. And he just exceedingly gives us things that takes us. And then on Wednesday night, we give that out. Yeah. Why, the Lord done this for me Monday morning or whatever. And he done this. There was a sister in Guthrie when I was pastor there. They give some testimonies when I was pastor that I still think about and use today. Amen. Anyway, Sister Brenda Wilkins, I'm going to tell who it was. Brother Delmer needed her to do some things and need to pick up some things and maybe drop some things off. So she had a schedule, and her watch had quit working. So she knew she had to have her watch. She didn't have time to go buy one. So she literally, I guess, laid hands on it and prayed for it. It started working. So she took off. It worked all day to the last stop, and when she didn't need it anymore, it stopped. That's God. One person, they had a washer go out or a dryer go out right before our camp meeting or assembly meeting, and so they just laid hands on it and started praying, and it started working. It worked the whole time during the camp meeting and then quit right after. That's God. Well, why didn't somebody asked a question, said, well, how long did you ask him for it to work? Said, well, just during the camp meeting. I said, why didn't you pray for on and on? I don't know. I just didn't do it. Oh, today, that's God. Listen, folks, we've got something nobody else has got because of his love. Thank the Lord for that this morning. All right, let's go to 1 John 4 and 8. 1 John 4 and 8. He that loveth, not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. 1977, I was in a meeting. Another minister was holding it, and I went to this place just to be there with the saints and so forth and be in the revival. And we were there, and this man went to the altar. He and I are about the same age, but I didn't know him. And never see it. I didn't ever see him, didn't know anything about him. And he had been in and out, up and down, flipping and flopping in the Lord. And so he got down there, and he just couldn't get, he prayed and he begged and he pleaded, but he just couldn't feel nothing. So I think I ended up going down there with them to learn some things from this evangelist that was there. And he might have motioned me, I don't remember for sure. But anyway, the counsel was given to this brother. He said, what you need to do is, you have been up and down, in and out, flipping and flopping, so to speak, for a number of years, and said, you're not going to have the feelings like you did the first time you prayed through. Well, that got his attention. He said, here's what you need to do. You need to take it by faith. No feelings at all. Just take it by faith. So he did that. And let me tell you what he told me happened. He and I become friends, and we're still friends today, whatever, 40-something years later. He said, Carl, he said, I went home, and he said, I went to Wednesday night prayer meeting. Now, this was Saturday night, I think, that he was praying. And he said, I went Wednesday night prayer meeting. I pulled in, I parked, and he said, a minister in the congregation, not the pastor, but a minister in the congregation, a young man, I was good friends with him too, said he went behind me and went down a little bit, and he pulled in. He said, I hated that man. I'd hated him. Why, he didn't tell me, so I don't know that. But he said, I'd hated him for quite a while. He said, I looked down that time and I had love in my heart. That's God. That can change it from hate to love just like that. That's God. So today, thank the Lord that you and I can love Him because He loves us. All right, let's go to Psalm 63:3 and we'll begin to wrap it up here in a few moments. Love, God loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Oh, my lips shall praise thee. Like I say, I think we're too quiet sometimes. You all do better here than some places. But we need to praise the Lord. I mean, He give a high... Well, let me ask you, would you like to go through what Christ went through? Of the scourging, of the thorns on the head. Then they took Him down, those other things. They spit on Him and they slapped Him in the face and different things. Then they took and they nailed Him to that cross and hung it up. How would you like to go through that? Wouldn't be fun, would it? But He done that because He loved you. All right, Jude 21 here. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. So we've got something to do. Lord, help us to just thank the Lord and keep ourselves by His grace and by His mercy, keep ourselves in the love of God. All right, John, St. John 17:22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. Now, this is Christ here. I and them and thou and me. This is the Father and the Son. That they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world had not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. So this is what the Lord wants all the way down. He wants us to, He says, where the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. Maybe in them and I in them. He wants that love to remain. He actually wants that love to be increased. More and more. So, do you really believe the Lord loves you? He loves you, doesn't He? He loves you with a great love, an everlasting love. And He wants to do everything He can do, just like a father does for the child, even greater. He can give us what a natural father can give us. I mean, my dad was good to me. My mom was good to me. But I got news for you. When the Lord saved me and He started blessing and helping, there's times, well, all right, I'll give you some instance. I've got a prayer partner back in the East, and this prayer partner has a cousin that has gotten saved out of a great pit of alcoholism. His wife has made him leave, and it's just about to kill him. He doesn't. Elaine tells me in their family life, that they can't, as a family, stand hardly to be alone. Well, he's alone. And so we prayed here a while back, recently, that the Lord would give him an answer. Because He tells her, He said, God doesn't answer my prayers. I thought, yeah, He does too. And she said that. But she couldn't get him to believe that. So we got to praying, the two of us did. I don't know, she's got other prayer partners too, so not just her and I. And he asked the Lord, he told the Lord that, Lord, if you, let's see, how was it? If you are answering my prayer, I want you to have my wife to call me on the phone this morning. There was some interaction they was going to have. She called him. That got his attention. But he's still having struggles with all this. So I don't know that I told Elaine how I was praying, but I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you need to give him something that'll really get his attention. He did. He come up and got Elaine last Saturday and took her out to eat. And he said, they sat there and eat, I guess, a little bit and talked. And said all of a sudden he got the most serious look on his face. Now this Elaine has known this man all his life. We're older than he is. I'm not sure just how much, but we're both older than him. And he said, hell is real. She looked at him, and the Lord gave him, I don't know if you'd call it a vision or a dream, but I don't even know what he saw. But he gave him something that got his attention. That's God. Yes. Nobody can give you a dream like that. Yes. So there's other things that the Lord can give us that is literally only because, basically, that the Lord loves us. And he wants to share things with us. He wants to deepen us. He wants to encourage us, inspire us, challenge us. He wants all these things because he loves us. Now then, how much do we thank him for that love? How much do we rejoice because of that love? How much do we come to meeting? How many camp meetings we go to? How many revival meetings we go to? Because of that love. We appreciate your time, your prayers. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home.